I don't know about you, but his word has blessed me richly. And I think you can all say that. You don't even have to tell me. I can see it on your faces, because your faces are full of joy and gratitude. Do you know what? You can see what's actually in a person's heart, whether the praise of God is in there or not. But when they sit under the word, and when the word speaks, then you can see whether it lights up or whether it doesn't light up. But you know, I've watched you a little bit. I'll tell you. But I've noticed that you've rejoiced in the Lord. And that is wonderful. I also don't believe that you came here just to be here, but that we can take something with us. And I believe that God has offered us plenty this time. Didn't He? Amen. Yes, we know He's faithful. He always has something to offer us. And that is words of eternal life. And that's what we need. We don't need anything else. We need Him. We need His word. And that is marvelous. Now, before we pray, I would like to read a precious word from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 55. Here are precious words and statements through the prophet. Here he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." This is a precious introduction, an invitation that the Lord offers His people. Yes, come and buy. And you know, if you really wanted to buy it with money, the salvation of God, it is impossible. Nobody could pay the price. Even if you wanted to fork out millions of dollars, it's not possible. But here God says to His people, "Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." You know, when you are really thirsty, you are glad when you get a good drink of water, a fresh drink, a fresh glass of water that you can drink. I was just thinking back to Israel, where we came to Jericho. It was so hot on the bus, and we got off there, and we each drank a glass of freshly squeezed orange juice. That was such a good refreshment. But God offers us the water of life. That is something precious. Not something that is fleeting, but something that lasts. And I believe that when He calls this to us, He also gives it to us. And I would like to come back to it again. I would like to say that He has already given it. He has already given us a drink. He has already given us food. He's already given us what He was going to give us. And I had to think about it. We should think about every word that we heard this weekend and these days. When we get home, when everybody needs to be at work, we should think about it, ponder it, and move it in our hearts. You know, this is what God asks of us, that we move in His word, that we reflect on it, that we carry it in our hearts. Because what good is it if we hear it here and then go and forget it again? But I believe that God has spoken to us so mightily that we cannot forget all the precious words. And I have to tell you, I can read a sermon once, and then a second time, and then a third time, and when I read it a fourth time, it becomes even greater to me. Then more and more marvelous thoughts and blessings come up. You can't see it all in one go. All these treasures in this Word of God. But we can be so glad that God is providing for us these days. And you know, He has given us this promise. When I think back, years ago, He gave us this promise, and now I can see what He has promised. He gives us that. God is like that. He doesn't pull back His arm, no, but He gives us what He has promised. These are precious words, and I believe He still has something for us this afternoon. My brother's body is already very weakened by all these sermons, three yesterday and all these days. But I pray to God to give him grace, and you all need to pray too. God can change everything. In the blink of an eye, He can give a person full strength and full commitment again. That is our God. Let us maybe read on. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified thee. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. There may still be many precious thoughts in this passage, but let us stand up and ask for God's blessing. Faithful God, we thank you again this afternoon for this hour. Lord, we thank you that you have richly blessed us up to this moment and up to this hour. Me and my brothers and my sisters, Lord, I thank you also for the candidates for baptism, whom you have called, whom you have drawn to yourself. They belong to you, Lord. They have taken your name in baptism, Lord. They belong to you. Lord, we are so glad that you are still at work, that you still have mercy on people, that you still draw them to yourself. Lord, you not only call, you not only invite, but you draw them to you, and you say, you are mine. Lord, we thank you that you are still at work. Faithful God, now we are here together again this afternoon to hear your precious word. I pray, Lord, for my brother, strengthen him after spirit, soul, and body, and strengthen us all too, that we are all here with open hearts, and that we receive what you say through my brother, Lord. O faithful God, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory and the worship. In the precious name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We sit down. I just would like to read a word very briefly, and then some quotes from Brother Branham. And I promise you not to preach any more this afternoon. From the prophet Malachi, I would like to read from chapter 3, from verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So, those who fear him and hold his name in high esteem, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. From verse 22, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. We have heard this word of God often enough, and we believe with all our hearts that God has fulfilled his word, and that we have received the final and ultimate prophetic message, and that the day of grace is approaching its end, and that then the day of the Lord will dawn, which will burn like an oven. We know that all these things have come very close, and that God wants to prepare us to perform the completion in divine love. Let me read a few quotes from the sermon Desperation, from page 17. We must have love before we can have faith. When we have genuine love, what does it do? It pushes our faith out on the battlefront for God. Genuine, godly love for God, for His Word, and for His people will push faith out there. Love just takes a hold of faith. Everything else has to give way. Love dominates all. Let's stop here for a moment and think of David. He saw that the people of Israel were mocked, and that all with their great equipment were cowardly to face a man who insulted and abused them. David loved God. David loved his people, his brothers, and his sisters. And because he had the love of God in his heart, faith moved within him, and he stepped to the front line and said, "You uncircumcised Philistine, by what right have you blasphemed the army of my God? Your end has come." What was it? Faith became active through love. He did not say, "Now I have the beautiful armor of Saul, now I will show what I can do." The armor was put on him, but he took it off faster than it was put on him. He did not want him or the armor to be talked about, but that the name of God should be honored and glorified, and that the people of God should be given victory by grace. Love and faith belong together. Faith is active through love. I read on. In John 14:23, Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words." Now, you can't keep his words without having faith in what he said. So you see, if you love God, you keep God's word. He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." You believe that. Love makes you believe it, because love dominates all. This statement is also of great importance. We cannot even control ourselves, let alone control everything. But when the love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then we are subject to divine dominion. Then we can dominate ourselves, and God dominates us, and all things will have to be subject to us. It continues here, "Love makes you believe. Though I speak with tongue of man and angels, and have not love, it's nothing. Though I have faith to move mountains, and have not love, it's nothing." Love dominates all, cause God is love. He is a God of love. If Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words," we know it is true. God will meet a desperate soul. Now, we all know that when a righteous man gets in travail, when a soul gets in desperation, the fervent prayer will be effective if the token is shown. But notice what the Bible goes on to say in James 5:16. "Confess your faults one to another. Have nothing against one another. Pray for one another." Confessing your faults, praying one for the other. Do it with love that brings about confidence. "I confess to you my wrong, and you confess to me your wrong. And I love you well enough that I will pray for you, and you pray for me, and we will stay with it, with effectual fervent prayer, until it's answered." Isn't that a wonderful word? Beloved, we are going through the sermons that were preached after the seven seals were opened. We no longer ignore them, because I believe with full conviction that the opening of the seven seals was a necessary thing in the plan of salvation, and that all those who have a part in it will listen to what the Spirit says unto the churches. It is not only about the opening of the seven seals, but about everything that was revealed through it and afterwards. Here, Brother Branham shows us something else, namely about Jacob. He says that when Jacob had the birthright, he thought everything was all right. That's what happened to the Pentecostal people, and they began to organize the Oneness Group and the Trinity Group and so on. But they argued with each other and moved people from here to there. This was the proof that the token was missing. Malice, envy, strife prevailed among them. That's where it got to. You can talk about anointing. You can talk about anything. Where there is hatred, envy, strife, jealousy, and discord, God does not rule. Other spirits are at work there. Where the Spirit of God is, there is the nature and life of Jesus Christ. There is manifested what He has said and what has come into us through the love of God. It goes on to say, see, the birthright that he had gotten was the reason Esau hated him to death. Have you noticed that there was no hatred at all before? It was only after Jacob received the birthright that this state of affairs set in. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing we can do about it. If the lot has fallen favorably upon us, then let us thank God for it. And we do not want to be among those who hate, but those who are hated. Jesus Christ, our Lord, loved everyone with all his heart, and yet he was misunderstood by most. Some called him Beelzebub, others this and that, but he went his way. Now another quote. When you pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for the token, don't say, well, I will try, if the Lord, but I'm tired. Oh, then sit right where you are. Don't even make the attempt. If you want to come to prayer, don't say, I will go to the prayer line. They will anoint me with oil. I want to see if that helps me. Then stay right there. Unless the whole church gets into a state where it's a matter of life and death, that you want to receive it now, or you will perish. Only then will God begin to work. It takes desperation to call God on the scene. Brothers and sisters, We have received and experienced many things by the grace of God. People have been saved, delivered, and healed. Many thousands on earth have come to the knowledge of the truth. But now, at the end, it shall be like the beginning, and we must come before the face of God with this desperation and pray, Lord, stretch out your arm, bear witness to yourself, let signs and wonders happen, reveal yourself in your great power and glory. I have faith and trust that God will do it by grace. After we not only pray, but send up a cry of desperation to God, and then the answer will come. I believe that the gatherings behind us have already given us a foretaste of what God has prepared for us. And after we have tasted that the Lord is good, it should not stop at tasting. We want to savor and eat the full meal of our God. For we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and is able to do great things. We now want to thank Him with all our heart and bring honor to His name. And to do this, we stand up now. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again together for the days that lie behind us and for your word, Lord, which you have given us. Lord, our hearts lift up your holy name and we praise you, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We are so glad, Lord, that you have spoken to us, Lord. Glory to your name. O God, you have transfigured your word to us, Lord. The message of this hour, the message of this time, Lord. Thanksgiving and worship to your wonderful name. Lord, let us not forget what you have done for us. Glory to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray, may you keep us blessed. As we depart, Lord, be with us, O God, and bless us. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. Glory to the Lamb.